Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, Father Charles Schonk, and Father Jerome Zeiler. Let's begin together with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to speak about charity in practice and how we've experienced that as friars and what we've learned. Every one of us, perhaps very recently at some point in our life, is approached by someone who needs help, you know, someone who asks for something, especially when we're not expected or not really ready for it. And it always brings to our minds, what should I do? How should I help this person? What is the best way to really help this person as my neighbor? And a command to love our neighbor is, of course, straight from the mouth of Christ. But how do we do it? That question was asked even in the time of Christ himself. There was one of the more educated people in the law who asked Christ, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, and Christ responded with a story about a man who was beaten by robbers and abandoned, and then finally a good man from Samaria showed compassion on him and helped him. So how can we fulfill that command of Christ? How can we be a good neighbor? And sometimes a good way to do that is just to talk about stories of how we've experienced that. Mm-hmm. So I know Father Stephen Dominic has a significant story he would like to share with us.
Well, this goes back to when I made my first pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I was running a pilgrimage, exhausting. It was the most exhausting pilgrimage I've ever done, with a large number of priests and religious sisters. And it was just hard traveling with them. And so every day was a bit of an exhaustion. At any rate, one day we're on the Mount of Olives. We've just seen the Chapel of the Ascension, and I'm shooing them into the bus. We can get back to the hotel. I can get a dinner. I can, you know, take a shower, get washed up, and get some sleep because I was exhausted. And as I'm shooing my pilgrims into the bus, I get tapped on the shoulder, and it's this postcard vendor. Now, I should say that this pilgrimage was being done during the first Intifada in the Holy Land. So that most of the shops were shut and things were very hard. It was very hard scrabble making a living for the people who were living out there, especially for the Christians and many of the poorer Muslims. Anyway, this postcard vendor comes up to me, you know, taps me on the shoulder and says, "You know, Father, you know, would you buy some postcards of the Dome of the Rock?" And I said, "La shukran, you know, thank you very much. No, I do not want some." Part of this is because if I did buy postcards from him as group leader, that is seen as a permission to go on the bus and continue to sell your wares. And I was not going to happen. This was not going to happen. I'd been warned about this kind of thing. So I was definitely going to buy. At any rate, but he persisted. "You know, Father, I'm making a living. I got some kids. You know, sure you don't need some postcards of the Dome of the Rock?" And I said, "La shukran, no, thank you." And you know, he's getting more, a little dejected. And, you know, my heart goes out to him a little. And I said, "Well, I passed him. I don't really want the postcards," I said, "but I know things are tough right now. Thank you very much." So I got on the bus. We went home.
So you gave him some money.
I gave him some money, right? Okay. Yeah. And then and the next day we're out. We're going to go up to see the Chapel of the Our Father, which is also on the Mount of Olives. So I'm shooing them off the bus and up the road this time, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. And I turn around. It's the same postcard vendor. And he pushes a bunch of cards of the Dome of the Rock in my hand and says, "Father, I'm not a beggar. I work for a living." And I heard a voice thundering in my heart, the voice of Christ, pointing his finger at me and saying to me, as the Holy Spirit once said to David, "Thou art the man." that I had given him money and I had stolen his dignity. And I realized I was standing outside the walls of the Garden of Gethsemane, which is famous for 2,000 years ago, another priest throwing 30 pieces of silver at a problem that he was trying to get rid of.
Mm.
So ever since, as a penance, I've been telling the story. So I do thank him for that, because it opened up my heart to seeing how I could destroy a person with what looked like charity and was really an exercise of my own self-will. My problem was I saw him as a problem, not a person.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's where my mistreatment of him was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't intentional, but it was nevertheless real. It doesn't matter what I intended if I actually hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I think that story is a good way to introduce the whole question of, you know, how can we in the best way respond, you know, to the homeless, for example. That's a great way that's a great place to start, who are asking for money, and they are just they're asking for money. That's what they would like. but how, in like the fullness of charity, should we just give them money, or what should we do? And how is the best way to, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty? You know, what you did for the least of my brothers, you did for me. To love them in their whole personhood, and not just, you know, try to
solve the problem.
Yeah.
I think that it's. I remember, and I lived in New York City for 4 years, and you'd see quite a few homeless people. Luckily in New York, one of the advantages of living in New York is there's always some little deli, you know, like, you know, 10 steps away where you can buy someone a sandwich or juice or whatever. And, so the money issue, you know, that kind of solves the money issue if you can offer them something in place of money. Mm-hmm. Because in general, you know, it's people who work with the homeless tell us that it's not a good idea to give them money. Because oftentimes they're on the street for some sort of addiction. So in any case, I think it obviously depends on the situation. You know, there's no blanket answer, except, see the person, and not just a problem. And, you know, there is a way in which there's this saying, I guess you'd call it, where people will say, "I don't want your charity," you know. Well, why has that become a saying? Because this is a common human experience of being helped by someone in such a way that you feel demeaned and disrespected and looked down on and condescended to. And no one wants that kind of, quote, charity, right? You know, as Father Stephen Dominic memorably put it, you know, I gave him money and stole his dignity, right? So in my encounters with people on the street, to bring it back to that situation, in my encounter with people on the street, oftentimes, they just appreciate you're taking a moment to talk to them. You know, and just immediately say, "I can't give you money, but hi, my name's Father Charles," you know, or "what's your name?" You know, mm-hmm. "Where are you from?" You know, just get to know them a little bit if you have a few seconds. And that means a lot to them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes in my encounters with homeless people in New York, it meant a lot more than buying them anything, you know, was just expressing some human interest.
Yeah, sometimes they do want that.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, especially, you know, I mean, because they don't know, sometimes people don't know their real dignity, and you have to kind of educate them in subtle ways, you know. And so, yeah, as Father Dominic Hayes was saying on the way here, you know, don't always give people what they ask for. Give them
what they need.
What they need, yeah. Or, yeah. That's right, yeah. I do know, like in my own experience, you know, I will say, well, I can get you a sandwich. And you get mixed reactions from that. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes they're like, great.
Yeah.
Like, right. Thank you. And they really appreciate it. And you can talk to them and they really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't want a sandwich. They want the cash.
This is the fifth time they've been offered a sandwich. Yeah. In the last 2 hours, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Or they want, I mean, they really want the cash for something else.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So I don't know. It depends on the situation, you know. One thing I just have to say, I mean, this past weekend, I found a great way, that I think, you know, I'd recommend to anyone, really, a great way to help, those who are hungry. And, it was just a beautiful thing, but it was a Columbus Relief. It's an organization here in Columbus, and they have their own bus, and they collect clothes, and you know, they have little hygiene kits and stuff. I mean, a whole bunch of different things to meet their basic needs, you know. And they have they come in and they can choose, you know, socks, like a hat, a blanket, and everything, and they say, but they have a prayer group, and they're like, would y'all like, is there anything we can pray for you for? And so most everyone does, they say something.
Father Jerome, you have a funny story about that, don't you? But maybe we should take our break, and then Father Jerome can tell the story.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish here in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, Father Charles Schaug, and Father Jerome Zeiler. And we've been discussing charity in practice, stories about how we can try to show charity and how sometimes that doesn't always work the way we expect. Mm-hmm. But Father Jerome was just telling us about a wonderful organization called Columbus Relief, mm-hmm. and inviting people to be prayed for.
Yes. What funny story.
Remember the guy who wasn't sure he wanted to be prayed for? Is that ringing a bell? People had prayed for him often when he was young. And
oh, yeah. No, there was one. One came and they said, is there anything we can pray for you for? And he's like, one of them mentioned, can we pray for this specifically? Something that specifically, he's like, I don't know. You know, when I was growing up, a lot of people said, you know, God was telling me this, you know, to pray for you for this or that. And, nah, I just, there were, another one came, I didn't tell you this, but another one came and, you know, they said, do you believe in, I think they said, do you believe in God? He's like, you know, well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that there's some people here that are offering me food for free and, some nice warm clothes. And I believe that. So yeah. I'm here for that. you know, and one of the guys working there said, that's great. You know, sometimes you get some resistance, you know, from obviously from asking for prayers. But he said, you know, they'll be back next time. And, you know, and a lot of times you get some resistance like this, but they soften up after a while. So we pray for them. Anyway, I thought it was a beautiful thing. This is a perfect example of like a way where, an ordered way where you have a lot of volunteers. They offered chili and hot chocolate, but they came in and they offered to pray for them. And then before and after they pray for them, and it's also safe. It's safe. I mean, that's a problem sometimes, trying to help people, and especially for, I think, young women who are trying to help, but it's not always so safe. And so anyway, but they met all of those needs and really treated them as people.
Yeah.
And they weren't just giving money. I have another, this is kind of a funny story, but just quickly, when I was in Youngstown, someone came up and knocked on the door. And they said, and the guy, he wanted cash. And I said, well, we don't really just give out cash. You know, we have the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and you can come back tomorrow. You know, there's always, no, you can't come back tomorrow because his grandmother is on a breathing machine, which runs on gasoline.
And he needs money for the gas.
It's running out of gas. There's only half a tank left, and it's going to run out tonight. She's going to die. She's on a breathing machine that runs on gas. How can you refuse? I mean, it's going to run out tonight. She's going to die. So her death would be on me if I didn't give him $20 to fill up the gas tank. You know, that the, anyway, so I always gave him a little money just for originality, because that was pretty good. No, but anyway.
There are, I mean, I do think it's very difficult sometimes, although there are amazing, amazing scams on that, you know, but we could. There's a lot of stories you can tell. I do think it's very hard for people sometimes. I had one incident where a man came to the door, asked for some money for lunch. And I said, well, I can't do that. I said, I can prepare you a lunch. He says, well, okay. So I go and I prepare a sandwich, you know, get some fruit and a soft drink. So it's something that I would like to enjoy myself. You know, I don't think you should make it so awful that they never come back. But I put something together, and then he was still waiting on the step. I handed it to him. I wished him well, and he went off. And then as I'm passing through the house again, I pass the window and see him pitch the sandwich in the bag into the trash. Mm-hmm. And I thought what's interesting for me is not so much that he rejected, because obviously the sandwich was not going to help him, but that he stayed to receive it. He could have, when I went to prepare it, simply walked off if he didn't get what he wanted. But he sort of had made a personal connection, and he couldn't walk away from that, even though he was going to pitch the sandwich in the trash. I think the whole business of dignity, of human connection, we live in a society where human capital is something people don't have a lot of. I mean, connections, especially if you're living on the street. And yet it's so degrading to try to ask for this stuff, to try to get what you mean and make that human connection from a position of need. You know, St. Francis de Sales, I think, writes that eventually he says, the poor will forgive the good you do to them. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, this kind of thing he's talking about. It's very hard for them to do that. Which is why I think we need, the first thing we need to do is humility, ask Jesus in the moment what we need to do, and then act with the best prudence we can summon.
Right, and I often believe that that one person that kind of taps you on the shoulder or knocks on your door, we should attend to that person as best we can, but we should remember that that person is, if you will, the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. There are many, many people, and there are many kinds of poverty. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a vast number of others who are never going to knock on your door, or never going to tap you on the shoulder. And to me, when I see someone like that, I try to think, well, you know, I should try to help this person as best I can. I may not be able to help this person in the way they want. It may be kind of a fail, you know, in my effort to help them. But at the very least, it should never be a fail in terms of a reminder that, how am I trying to be that good Samaritan? How am I trying to find that neighbor that I can help? I can't help every neighbor, mm-hmm. you know, but there's always some neighbors that I can help, but sometimes they're closer than you might think. But I think it's true to also recognize how, you know, what is the best way to help people? And what is it that they really need? And this, I'll just tell a story from my own as a campus minister in my last assignment. You know, it's a lot of students like to try to volunteer, which is wonderful. And it's popular to go on kind of spring break volunteer trips or mission trips, as they're sometimes called. And we had a twin parish in Haiti. In fact, our whole diocese had a twin diocese in Haiti, and our parish had a twin parish in Haiti. And a few times I took some students there to the parish, and it was wonderful. And I think the first time they went, before I got there, they decided they wanted to build a basketball court for the kids at the Catholic school, you know, mm-hmm. at the parish where we were. Mm-hmm. And that was fine and good. But when you look at that, you know, that wasn't really the number one they needed from American students, you know. Right. You know, they had people that could perfectly well build a basketball court much more efficiently than the students could, yeah. you know. And there are people that probably would have been very glad to have the work, you know, and even the very paltry wages that you would pay them to build a right. basketball court. So in a sense, going down there to build a basketball court with that extreme difference in economy is really not that helpful, except maybe as a nice gesture. So, you know, what we did in future mission trips was I told the students, I said, well, I know you'd love to like build a house for someone in Haiti, but really, you know, they can do that pretty well themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I thought our real mission was to show them that we wanted to know about their culture, mm-hmm. that we wanted to know about, you know, about what they were doing, that we wanted to kind of connect them and listen to what they really needed. And also just with the community, it might seem obvious, but just communicating their real needs to the parish, you know, so how we could best help them. You know, sometimes we have ideas of how we think something will be helpful. And when you really get there on the ground, you realize, well, actually,
yeah, yeah,
that's not, you know, there are other things they need much, much more. So so just kind of to, you know, that's all to say that, what our first thing that comes to our mind, or the first person that knocks on our door, you know, that might not be the be all and end all of our own mission in helping our neighbor. There may be something better. It's much more fitting to us to do, but that takes a little discernment.
Yeah.
And I think charity is more than helping your neighbor. That's benevolence, which is a purely human virtue. But charity, the divine, you know, the theological virtue, is about the gift of oneself as Christ has given himself to us. And so a personal connection is, I think, something that always marks authentic charity.
Mm-hmm.
And the willingness to make that connection. Because as I said, even with my friend with the postcards, you know, the tendency is, okay, here's a problem. How do I solve the problem? And I'm thinking about me. What I need to be doing is, okay, I am now the servant of the one before me. I am the servant of the one before me. How does Christ wish me to serve this person and really serve with my heart? I may not be able to do any material good for them, but how can I serve them in an authentic charity where I, in humble service, accomplish what Christ wishes me to do in this moment and why he has put this person in front of me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just one other example of that I learned from being a campus minister. We also would go on Habitat for Humanity builds for spring break, mm-hmm. and those are wonderful. I think Habitat is a fantastic organization. But part of the appeal for the students was to go to another state, you know, maybe a place with a warmer climate, you know. So, but I was so proud of one student, you know, because we'd have a mission trip, but he said, well, this is not all that your Catholic faith is about. You know, it's great that you give up your spring break to go help someone. That's awesome. But, you know, this is not just a once a year thing. You know, I'd love it if you would go on this mission trip and then let that make you think, how can I help best where I live? Mm-hmm. And there's one student, I'm so proud of him. He joined the local Habitat trip. And with his busy college student schedule, one day a week, he would go on a Habitat build. And he got pretty good at it. You know, he learned a lot about building homes, and he developed relationships with the people. And I thought that's you know, I wish that would happen more often. In a way, you know, wish that would happen more often for us, that we realize that sometimes it might seem kind of, you might, I hate to say it, you know, but some kind of charity seems kind of exotic, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that we help this person that's so, you know, far away or different, or, you know, but sometimes it's like the people we're most able to help are like right at our elbow. You yeah. know, or right in our neighborhood, and there's ways we can help that are perfectly aligned with our gifts. You mm-hmm. know, that we just might not think about.
Yeah, yeah. I think another good question or thing to keep in mind is, how can this person help me? You know, you know, to do a work of mercy is a wonderful act of divine love, but how can this person be a work of mercy for me? You know, so that we're not always considering ourselves the benefactors and them the beneficiaries. You know, but you know, if I get to know this person a little bit, he or she probably has an amazing life. You know, that I can learn from. You know. And also, if there is something this person can do for you, that is a work of mercy in itself, to allow them to have that privilege, that agency, if you will, of being a source of mercy to me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's part of human dignity to be able to be a benefactor to another person, you know. Just like the Good Samaritan was to the man on the road to Jerusalem. And just as the postcard seller was outside the Garden of Gethsemane.
Charity is a kind of friendship and therefore always implies a certain mutuality.
Yes. Amen to that. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish here in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, Father Charles Schonk, and Father Jerome Seiler. Let's end now in prayer to our founder, St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.